Two readings today. First one's from Psalm 77, verses 1 to 3. It's on 589, page 589, if you want to follow it. It's only short. Psalm 77, verses 1. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and would not be comforted. I remember you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. And we move on to the second reading, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21-28. And that's page 982, if you can find it. This is about the faith of a Canaanite woman. Verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me just pray briefly. Lord, I thank you that you bring us together in your house so that we can sing and worship and pray and learn from your word together. Lord, I pray as we are here together, the words that I say may be guided by your spirit, and the words that we hear and take in may be blessed in your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. I'm looking around this morning, there's loads of people. I think, Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, I'd love to chat to you. So I'm going to, before I start, and this will link in later, stand up. Go and say hello to somebody that you haven't seen for a while, or somebody that you'd like to go and say, you know, you see that person that I'd love to say hello to them. Oh, it's great to see them. Stand up and just say hello to somebody. Yeah, and ask them how their week's been. Yeah, go on. Start. You can do it now. That's all right. I'll let you. Just say Yeah, and saying, I'll have chips, gravy, sausage. And they went, the what? Chips and what? I'm like, I'll have chips and gravy. What? And it were like two people that didn't understand each other, like speaking a different language. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, weirdos. I spent some time there. I had a really good time. I stayed with my father-in-law while I was there. And my father-in-law said, it's fine, you can stay in my house, that's okay. As long as the rule was that you need to come to Monday Club. Now, Monday Club was at the Woodman at 6 o'clock. Yeah, and you had to have a beer at Monday Club. That was the rules. That was the only rules of Murray's house. You had to come to Monday Club. Murray also had a Wednesday Club and a Friday Club. I'll let you guess what they were. They were quite similar to Monday Club, if I'm honest. But you go to Monday Club. It was great, this little pub called the Woodman in the middle of nowhere. And the Woodman had no mobile phone signal whatsoever. You couldn't get it. Yeah, and the landlord had been banned from having Wi-Fi so that nobody could be on the phones. Nobody was on the phones. It was amazing. And you'd go in there. Not only was nobody on the mobile phones, so they'd welcome you, is the barman was, there was one of these magical people that as you walked in the door, they would be pouring you a drink. Yeah, and they would know the drink that you would like before you did. I'm like, that's a good barman. That is. That's a good pub. They say, all right, Chris, you'll want this. And they were right. Every time I'm like, well, that's a lovely drink, that is. Thank you. Yeah, and you just feel welcomed in this place. And then I used to wander over to the side of the bar with Murray and his mates that was lovingly called God's Waiting Room. We'd all stand round the bar and we'd talk rubbish. We'd talk absolute rubbish. I can't remember some of the conversations that he had, but we'd be chatting for an hour or two about whatever. And it didn't matter. It was a lovely place to be in. You know, when you're with good friends. And those people that you maybe see quite often and that you're comfortable with, you just relax in the presence, don't you? And you say whatever. And actually then, because you can talk all the rubbish, is then some of those important conversations are so much easier. Because you trust this person. And you're just in their presence, talking rubbish. That's a good place for prayer to start. As we're talking about prayer, I'm going to talk about simple prayer today. Just being able to be regularly in God's presence. To walk through the door and to know that you are safe, that you are welcome, that you are invited, that He knows you better than you do, that He's going to present you in that place. Sometimes prayer we make far too complicated because it's got to be the right words or in the right way, or oh, we can't come to prayer because of this and because of that, and I feel guilty and I feel like that. God really doesn't care. He just wants you to come and speak to Him. As we go this series of prayer, I wanted to start it off with something on simple prayer. There's a few books and stuff too that I've got. And this one, Richard Foster's a cracking one. There's others. I also read one that I mentioned to you before. Living Like Monks. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. That's what it's called, by Tyler Statton. Yeah, that's a cracker. Yeah, and Martin Dowland is going through one, and I'm remembering as I wrote it down here. Sorry?
John White.
People in prayer. And goes through different people in Scripture that pray. I'm encouraging people to read it. And encouraging people to spend some more time in prayer over this season. So that prayer feels like walking into that friendly pub. That I can just sit, I can be welcome, and I can just talk. And then the harder things of life become so much easier. Because we're simply in that place. You know, this week, Laura and I were asked to go to somebody's house. And he said there was some funny stuff going on. They wondered whether there was a ghost and could some priests come and pray around the house. And I was like, well, we can come round and pray. You know, I haven't got any kind of crucifixes and like strange things from some 70s movie or anything like that. I can't do any of that. Look, there's people in the diocese that can do that deliverance ministry more. What we can do, we can come round and pray a blessing on your house and we can come and pray with you. Of course we can. We'd love to do that. And as we're talking to them, we just felt, you know what? We're going to pray, but you can pray as well. And these people aren't really come to church. Oh, can we? Well, yeah, God wants to know everything. And we used a little example. I said, right, you know, anybody, have you ever had a baby? These two ladies that were there, well, yeah, of course we have. You know, and there's loads of ladies that have had babies, or you've been around somebody that's been around when a baby's been born. What's the first thing a baby does? Cry. They cry out, don't they? They cry out, they whinge. They want something close. They want that intimacy as they cry. And crying is the same thing. We said, look, God wants to know who you are. A baby cries when they come out of the womb. Don't feel that you need special words. Just ask. And it might be that you're crying out and there's like, and you're upset. And you want to just go on. God, just this is doing my head in. It might be that you want to whinge because you're just fed up. It might be that you've just got rubbish to say. This happened today. It was a bit in the middle of nothing and not important, but I'm talking to you about it. You know, those that are parents that have had children grow up. them talking to you about rubbish is far better than them saying nothing, isn't it? Them whinging at you is far better than them saying nothing and not ringing. Yeah, you love it when your children come to you and just talk anything. Say anything. Just talk to me. Your Father in heaven is exactly the same. He wants you to cry out. He just wants you to come and speak to him. You don't need any special words. You just need to be there. The door is open, and that is the welcome. That's the first place I want to start with prayer. And this psalm tells us that. I cried out for help. I groaned, even though my spirit grew faint. Pick up, as we start prayer, this season of prayer, pick up that simple place of prayer. Be prepared to talk the rubbish. Be prepared to cry out. Be prepared to just lay your heart. And the more we come, the easier that conversation is. And we come to this story of this Canaanite woman who came to Jesus, and she seems a bit of a whinger, doesn't she? She's shouting out, and she won't let Jesus go. Jesus just went to rest, for goodness sake. He withdrew, and she comes chasing after him. You know, there's a phrase in modern language for somebody that will just continue to peck at you and come and whinge all the time to get attention. Yeah, they've called it a Karen. Yeah, that just will constantly have a go at you all the time. Yeah, and won't let you out of the way. You know, this woman's almost a bit like that. As Jesus seems tries to withdraw, she comes at him. She wants to ask him. She wants to get him involved as quickly as possible. And Jesus does something funny. First of all, he says nothing. Just ignored her. A bit of like, you know, talk to the hand. The face ain't listening. You know, yeah. The disciples try to send her away because she's just moaning. Come on, Jesus needs some time away. Well, as I was reading this, I realized they're in Tyre and Sidon. As they're in Tyre and Sidon, this is not Jesus' place. This is a Canaanite environment. This is her hometown, not Jesus' hometown. He's come into her place, not she come into his place. And while he's there, she's jolly well going to ask him for this healing for her daughter. And she's going to make sure he listens. That's a good place to start with prayer. As I continue to read this, you realize that this woman, first of all, kneels at Jesus' feet. She gives him a place of authority. She acknowledges who he is. Interestingly, she does this the chapter before Peter declares that Jesus is the Son of God. This Canaanite woman, this Karen on the edge, has given Jesus that authority before Peter, who eventually holds the keys to the church. She acknowledges his authority. And he came up with these kind of strange phrases where Jesus seems to be pushing her back and rejecting her. And the second of those I found really interesting as I read into it a little bit more. And Suzanne was in the office with me the other day. I went, oh, wow, that's amazing. Well, this is the bit that I said I'd tell you about later. Yeah, as this phrase that he says, is it not right? It is not right to take children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It's a bit of a weird phrase, that, isn't it? Who are the children? Jesus is talking about the children. The children are the people of Israel. The Jewish people. The people that are included. And what's the purpose of the children of Israel? To bring the good news to the Gentiles. Who's the Gentile in this place? The Canaanite woman. Interesting. He uses that phrase. On from that, he says, give the bread, toss it to the dogs. The dogs was a racial slur. The word that is often used for dogs, and I'm no expert in kind of Greek and Hebrew, don't worry about that. So what I get wrong, but I'll tell you what I reckon it says, because it was spelled K-U-O-N, kun. A racial slur for the dog. The Gentiles, those that weren't included. That's what that would mean. But Jesus doesn't use that word. He changes it slightly. And rather than the kun, it's the kunarion, which would mean the pet dog. The dog that is a part of the family. So he's changing something that was meant as a slur to push somebody outside to bring somebody into the family. Now, you've met my Kenny. My Kenny is a lovely dog. What does she do when I have a treat in my hand? She sits down and stares at it. Yeah, I can even get her to stop if I hold my finger up and say, wait, and she will stay there, and I can put the treat there, and she will stay till the moment I click my fingers, and she'll run for it. I mean, she will stare at the treat, and she'll stare at me, looking quite worried of whether she's going to be allowed to get it. I find it interesting that in this one little line, Jesus challenges his disciples as the children of Israel who are called to bring the good news to the world, to the Gentiles, to be a light unto the Gentiles. And then he turns something that was meant as a racial slur into an invitation to join the family. Because this woman is attentive to Jesus. She is sitting at his feet, acknowledging his authority and his authority even over the demons. What a fascinating response. Not a dismissive response that says, but a response that says so much of the whole good news of Jesus Christ. And in that, because of her faith, Jesus heals her daughter, because she comes to him simply moaning, attentive, acknowledging his authority and asking him to change that situation. We can learn a lot from that Canaanite woman. We can be persistent. We can whinge, and that's okay. God wants to hear our whinging. He wants to hear our crying. He wants to hear our heart. He wants to be attentive to us. And he wants to invite us into his family so that he, through our faith, can change and transform the situations in which we are in. The more we come, the more familiar we are with his presence. As we come into this season of prayer and we try to think some more about prayer, I wanted to start with simple prayer because we need to start. And I've come up with what's it called? Where you have like first letters, what's it called? Hey? Acrostic, that's it. Long word, can't spell it. Yeah, but I can start the word that I can spell. Start. I'm going to use five letters. S-T-A-R-T. I've spelt that right, haven't I? I need Hillary here to just check me. Okay, so we're going to do start. We're going to start prayer. And we're going to try and remember on this. Start. S for stop. Stop what you're doing. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some moments in prayer. We've got some more stuff that's happening over this season of prayer. I'm going to start doing some morning reflections. I'm going to start a WhatsApp group. Now, when anyone says to me I'm starting a WhatsApp group, I have fear and trepidation about all the messages that I'm going to get. Right, this one. Nobody is allowed to send any other messages. I'm going to make it so that nobody else can put a message apart from one message a day. That message a day will be somebody from church. It'll be me to start with. And it'll just be 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to read a bit of scripture, the scripture for the day. I'm going to say a little bit about it. It won't be particularly wise because it'll only be like 30 seconds. And then I'm going to pray. And if you want to join me on that group, then do. There's a little sign-up thing for the back. I want as many of us as we can to spend some time. Stop and spend some time. That's the T, by the way. S-T. Stop. Spend some time. Just in prayer. And if it's just that 2 or 3 minutes, fine. If you want to go on for several hours afterwards, that's fine as well. If you've got the time, make sure you're not late for work. Yeah, but you can spend more time in prayer. But I want us all to commit to spending some more time in prayer. And that's a start. And if after that, it's a bit mumble jumbled and your prayer is on the way to work or as you were walking, that's fine. I started something like this in Formby when 5 years ago, middle of COVID, when we couldn't see each other. We thought we'd start doing this kind of morning prayer thing. And we got a couple of people from church to contribute to do their little reflections. And a couple of people started. And I remember, Vicky Higgins, yeah, bless her. She's lovely, like lovely lady in church. But she was always busy and she had like 3 like young kids and that was always busy. Yeah, when she used to send it to me, it was always late. It was always like 5 to 9. Yeah, she'd send me her reflection because she'd remembered as she was driving into work and the reflection would be like a video of her on a phone in the car. Yeah, and you could see like all the car behind her. She just remembered, I was fine. I was great. And be fair, the fact that Vicky Higgins did it like last minute just as she was running into work made a whole load of other people feel a bit better about it because they were like, that's actually life. And sometimes, but just being able to stop to spend some time in God's presence. The A, S-T-A, the authority. Know that God has the authority to deal with the situation that you're in. Be figuratively kneeling in his presence so that God can spend some time and change. Be expectant of a response, the R, S-T-A-R. So stop, time, authority, response. And be prepared to tell God what's going on with you in your life so you build up that relationship. So over these next few months, I want us to grow in prayer. But I want it to start, there you go, using the same word, start in that place. I've been able to stop, spend time, acknowledge authority, expect a response, and tell him where you are. If it's 10 seconds, fine. Start with 10 seconds. Yeah, and it might grow as you go on. Come to him regularly in prayer. We're going to have a few extra things that we're going to do that we can pray together. So as well as that WhatsApp group, you'll only get one message a day, by the way. Remember that one. So it'll be all right. One message a day. We're going to start, we're also starting a prayer walk on a Saturday morning. So I do park run on a Saturday morning, so it's really based around like me getting up, really. So at 8 o'clock, I met yesterday where Judith came and joined us, that we just started here, and we slowly walked down to St. Luke's past the Catholic school, and we prayed as we went. I quite like praying as I'm walking, because I get easily distracted. I was talking to Martin the other day, don't like prayer walking because you want some time and space. I quite get easily distracted. So I see stuff and go, oh, pray for that. Oh, pray for this. And we'll pray for the other. And we went to pray at the different churches. And then we wandered up to, we went past the Methodist church and then past Elim and then into the centre of town. It's like 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Just a little wander on a Saturday morning. If you want to come and join us, come and join us. Just to do a little prayer work. And then I went off and did the park run. Yeah, in the park. That's all right. That's a little bit of time. Next week is National Week of Prayer. So I'm going to be at St. Luke's at 6:30 on the Monday morning and through the week. If you really like getting up early, not everybody likes that. But if you like getting up early or you're kind of busy with work and you need to get off to work afterwards, I'm going to be there at 6:30 if you want to come and pray with me. That will be very simple, mainly because I'll still be waking up. So it will just be a simple prayer as we pray together. And we're also organising some more prayer meetings that you'll hear of over the next few weeks that we can get together and pray. Start prayer simply. Start it with yourself. Start it with your daily devotions, your daily time to come in prayer. If the messages are helpful, fine. If it's not, don't worry about it. Yeah, come and join us on a prayer walk. Come and join us on an early morning that week. Come and join us in prayer meetings. And you know what? I am not going to stop you organising your own prayer meeting. That's okay. Spend some time in prayer. Let me pray and then we're going to sing and respond to that. Just spend some time in worship, but just asking God to come and meet with us. Lord God, I thank you that you are here with us, that you hold us close, that you want to hear us, even the things that we think are uneventful in our lives. Lord, I pray that you can draw us into times where we share more with you. Build our life in prayer as a church, as we meet together, as we share moments together, as we pray things together. Lord, and in the time that we spend with you, draw us to be more like you. Amen.